All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest, entering his third season for the Philadelphia Flyers, right winger Nick Obi-Kubel. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What's happening, Nast?
What's up, Rigorelia? What are you saying, buddy?
This is it, man. This is it. Late night, pre and post, and
yeah,
try to keep my eyes open.
I wish the people knew how far past your bedtime this is right now. I'm actually amazed that your eyes are open now. Back in the day, we were just getting going.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
right now, just rolling in. Yeah, just couple pregames in the parking lot, and getting going. But this is a two kids later for you and some. Some yoga all day and night. It's a tough day, man.
I gotta get my rest.
You have to.
Need to feel refreshed in the morning. You know how it is. Got two
young
girls that are high energy, to say the least.
Oh no.
High energy.
My ear too.
Oh man. It's on. It's on.
I told the guys last week when you missed our game. don't worry. Everyone was mad. I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah.
But I said someone said, well, why didn't he bring his kids? I'm like, you guys think Elvis is hyper? I said, you get these two here. I'm like, and put their hockey helmets on, get them on the bench. Going to be light. It's going to be worse than Keenan screaming at you.
Yeah. It's a distraction. <He's> still- to say the least.
Well, Elvis is to say he's so bad. You know, during the game, he thinks he doesn't know whether to shit or wind his watch. You see, he gets so excited, but
yeah.
Anyway, big day today. We'll talk more about it probably in another day or two. But what were your thoughts today with the Flyers and the moves they made?
Yeah, I mean, leading up to today, the addition of Nate Thompson, Martin Jones, I believe those are the two added today. And obviously the three defensemen that they added, the trades.
Yep.
I'm liking what I'm seeing. I mean, they obviously beefed up the back end, which we talked about several times this year as being the biggest holes. And, you know, in the pipes, I'm not sure if it's necessarily an upgrade, maybe if a slight upgrade, but maybe the exact same. I'm not really sure. But nonetheless, he's a consistent goalie. He's been a number one. So, I mean,
yeah.
And then adding some grit, you know, Nate Thompson obviously coming back to Philly.
I've loved his game.
Good I really like that. Centerman, you know, good team guy.
I think they realized that they were probably missing a little bit of his grit on fourth line. You know, he knows his role. Yep. He knows what he's doing. He brings it every night, brings the energy. He's hard to play against.
Yep.
That's kind of what you need. You need a line like that, I think, or maybe, you know, at least a couple guys like that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that, you know, the lack of energy or sandpaper at times, seemed like a lot of times in the past year, but, so they addressed that. I'm liking what I'm seeing. They're building the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. And I know one thing, it's going to be one of the funniest damn locker rooms in the league. Not that we're in there to hear it all, but you get the Yan bomb in there, with Hazy. Holy shit, man. I can only imagine how funny that'll be.
Yeah.
Because Hazy alone's a funny dude. Then you get his best buddy there, and it's Yandel had a few lines that I've heard over the years when he was on other teams that the trainers would tell me, and I won't repeat them, but they're fun. They're funny. He is a funny dude.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've heard that a lot though.
Yeah,
and again, bringing it back into the culture of the locker room, it always adds a ton if you have a guy like that that can loosen up the load. And, you know, obviously he's been a pretty reliable guy throughout his career. And
yeah, he's a point. He gets points. That's for sure.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He produces points. And, you know, I don't know, obviously, which guys will be with who, but you know, they changed it up. And that's what they definitely were going to do. So,
yeah. So it'd be interesting how that looks going into the season. And speaking of going into the season, we will be hosting our first annual Nasty Knuckles ball hockey tournament September 11th, Saturday, with the National Ball Hockey League. Guys over there have been awesome, helped set this thing up. So check
it
out.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we'll be sharing some links online, Eventbrite. 40 teams. 10 bodies per team. Marlton. What do you call them? The Marlton.
Just the Marlton rinks.
Marlton rinks, yeah.
Yeah, there's three, and all of them have been resurfaced.
Yeah, they're really nice.
And let everybody know that TimmyParr.com should be in the house. He runs, he helps run the leagues over there that Elvis played in, and I coached in for the kids, the ball hockey leagues, and he does a great job with it. But I told him there's no excuses. TimmyParr.com, you're in the house.
Yeah, he's got to be.
So
Timmy P, it's been a while since I've seen him.
He's fired up. He's ready.
But yeah, for all you ball hockey players or ice hockey players that want to suit out, have some fun, Nasty Knuckles crew, Saturday, September 11th, the Marlton Ball Hockey Rinks in partnership with the National Ball Hockey League. So it'll be a great time. Looking forward to it, man.
We're not giving out our team yet. We're not telling people who's on our team. So.
No, we're gonna stack it
because we don't know. Toughness. Right. Yeah. I want to be out there with the toughest guys though, just in case.
Oh yeah,
I can't afford any more losses. Start
to muck it up. Yeah. You're better standing on the street turf versus the ice anyways. So,
yeah, probably. Well,
improve your record a little bit.
Yeah, I hope I don't have to do that.
No, who does 90-degree heat?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a beautiful
day. Actually, it'll be nice, yeah. Yeah, it'll be cool down at that time. So check it out. We'll be posting as we go. Any interest, hit us up. Any questions, hit us up. And looking forward to getting that released, getting that going, and got a golf tournament we'll be announcing too shortly, maybe either this week or next week. So stay tuned. Lots of good stuff down the pipe. And that being said, I think we got to get right into this episode with Nick Obey-Kubel. It's your boy.
That's right. The Cube. Ice Cube.
Yeah. The Cube.
My man.
All right. Let's check it out.
All right.
Hey, this is Nick Obey-Kubel. You're watching Nasty Knuckles.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I am Derek Settlemyer. This week, we're very fortunate to have our good buddy from the Philadelphia Flyers, number 62. Roz, I really want you to say it in your French accent, but I'm going to say Cube. Nick Obey-Kubel. I really want Riggs to use that French that he has that no one even knows about. Yeah. Cube, welcome, brother. So happy to have you, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Last time I saw you, it was in Allentown.
Yeah, right.
He was coaching
with the pesky, with the pesky Phantom.
Pesky Phantoms, yeah. It's been a minute. Yeah, it's nice to see you come a long way since then, man. And you were growing. You're ready to burst wide open there when I was still coaching you, and I think you've done a really good job at finding your game and continue to get stronger. So it's nice to see some success in your world there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm happy to become a Flyers and stay a Flyers for as long as possible. Yeah, I haven't been following too on your side, but I've seen you have a lot of product too on your side.
Yeah, it's been interesting since I last saw you. Yeah, things have evolved and trying to, just try and help where I can and push some performance and optimization products and and help in a different way. And now I'm a yoga instructor, so,
integrating
the whole yoga component, breath work, meditation.
He wears leggings.
I wear leggings.
Oh, yeah, my girlfriend too. My girlfriend too is a yoga teacher.
Oh, nice. Boy. I think I'd rather look at her in her leggings than Riley.
What are you saying, man?
I'm just saying.
You know, like 180-pound build these days or what?
I like her 100-pound build, I think.
Yeah, right.
Whatever. I'm guessing. So I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, same.
Oh man.
So you're right in the thick of it, back to training. You're back home in Montreal and
I got back here early June. I had to do my 2 weeks of quarantine. Took that time to renovate my brand new. Well, I just bought a condo here in Brossard, close to where the Montreal Canadian practice facility is.
Nice.
Nice. It's really nice. My first purchase. I was really happy.
There you go. Congrats.
Yeah. Congratulations, bro.
Yeah, my girlfriend's doing a good job to furnish everything and decoration and everything. So it was cool to take that 2 weeks to really do that, because I knew if I didn't have to do quarantine, I would just be hanging out with friends and do nothing in there. I would probably still be sleeping on the mattress on the bed.
Yeah. Good use of your time then. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then get some roots in the ground there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then finished quarantine, get a few parties with my buddies, rent a few cabins, just to enjoy time with them. And now I'm back in the workout, back in the gym since I think late June. Yeah.
Nice.
That's that time, man.
And what phase of training are you in right now? I know it's like a process and it's very regimented now with, the amount of data and resources there's available. I mean, where are you at as far as like the summer conditioning goes, and what is your focus, going into next season?
Yeah, we got a new trainer here with the Cortex, like that I told you earlier before the podcast started. Saputo is like a big family in Montreal, and they bought our agency. And they built an amazing facility here with like two small ice rink, a nice gym. And I've been working out. I've been lucky to work out here for 3 years now. And we just changed a trainer. So it was like a little of a bit of an adjustment. His name, you guys probably know him, Andy O'Brien.
Oh, sure.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So he made a program for me, worked with me for a week. And then now I just do his program for the month I'm in. And then he just got back here, worked out with me. I'm actually in it right now, and he's like adjusting the program again. So I'm going to work this program again for another 3 weeks. And yeah, it was probably like heavier earlier. Now it's more like, I would say less rep, but more like agility. And because I'm going to get on the ice more and more throughout the month of August and get ready for September.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. There's a specific focus, you know, for you specifically, you know, like, obviously I look at you and your game and you're heavy player, you know, strong in skates, good skater, shoot well. I mean, what are you focusing on, you know, specifically going into next season?
Yeah. Quickness, quicker feet. It's part of my game. And yeah, that's the part I want to improve the most, like feet quickness and agility and stuff like that.
Nice.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe I
need to do the Riles program.
Well, definitely not this Riles skill program, but maybe the Riles recovery program. Yeah, man.
Well, yeah. Well, I've been to three fights last year, and I can't say I did well. So maybe I need to switch program.
Oh, that program. Okay. I was wondering what program you're talking about.
I thought you meant his skills clinic.
Skills clinic. Yeah, right. Both, stay far both, away from that. Yeah, man. I thought, you know, going back to what I said about you being strong in your skates, you look like you get a good foundation in those fights. I think it's just finding, you know, just getting comfortable in positioning. You should grab big Sambo there after practice and just start Greco-Roman wrestling with him and doing some tie-ups. But I think you're obviously strong enough to hold your own. It's just, you know, a little bit more strategy of hiding the chin a little bit and finding that positioning. But
yeah.
With a little grappling and, with Sam would be nice.
Yeah, and not losing my grip. I feel like that's in my fight recently. I tend to lose my my first grab, like with my left hand. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I've been there before. When you lose the grip, it's not a good place to be in. So I think securing the grip, outside of finding the foundation, which obviously you have, you look balanced and strong in your stance. It's just, you know, securing the grip and then working from there is. Especially if it's a guy that, you know, whether it's a guy that's, you know, tougher than you, it's just, you know, it's really just isolating him and, you know, not getting beaten up, right? It's just like, yeah. you know, but then you get good at it, you get more comfortable and you can, you know, throw a few and not get hit. I think that's the key.
I should get a few rounds with the Nasty to practice.
Yeah.
Practice my knockout.
Speed yeah, out, I was going to say, it would be tough to knock me out, Cube. You know that.
Yeah, right.
I'd be nighty night Jim Kite every time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 0-4-1, which most guys know. Yeah. Although that wasn't on the ice, I would be 0-5 if I was on the ice. But speaking of your quick feet, I don't think I ever witnessed it when I was able to work with you, but we're gonna have to work on that foot speed, getting to those power play meetings. Because
already a dagger. It's been what?
No, that's not
minutes?
A dagger. Hey, that's
right, 5 minutes in this podcast.
No.
Dagger.
Hey, Cube, you know I love you. That's not a dagger. That's a couple of the boys I reached
out
to.
You can send them my ways. I don't mind.
Yeah, no, we were laughing because I could just imagine Mike Terry, and you know, if you're 5 seconds late. And it's probably
French. Yeah. Yeah. It was actually my first call up. Well, it happened more than once, but my first call up was in LA. And if you know me, you know, I'm a little lunatic. Sorry. My French, my French translation, but like,
no,
I don't do that because I don't give a fuck. I just really, I am lunatic. I really care about this team and about my image. And yeah, I got out of the ice, and before the ice I knew I had a meeting after the practice, like after the morning skate, but then after the morning skate, I don't know, I just want to shower or whatever. So I'm in the shower, I'm like, oh no. That's when it hit me.
It's the worst feeling ever, man.
I'm like, I had a meeting. So I get out of the shower and I run. I was legit 30-20 seconds late, and then the door was closed. I get in and see French Mike being like, yeah, you'll see, just come see me after.
Yeah.
No, yeah. No, buddy, it's happened to everyone. It was just funny because we had talked to a couple of guys and said, hey, what's something I can bust his chops about, you know, like other than this other thing I have, but it's not bad. but they were like, well, he was late for the power play. I feel like I remember that, but hey, it happens to everyone, Cube. And no one ever questions your loyalty and your wanting to play and all that stuff, man.
But it's also a professional world, and I gotta focus on that.
Wow, yeah, but you know, it happens, bro. It happens to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It always does.
Was it only once? Because I think the word on the street was that you're the only guy that was late or missed three meetings, and you're still in the power play.
That's when you know you're skilled. When you can be late, Cube, and you're still
That's a problem. I'm not skilled enough to miss those meetings.
Hey, you're still on it, bro. You're still on it.
Yeah, no, not that year, but yeah, it was just. I think another one was just a bad luck of me being lunatic again, and I don't know.
Yeah, it happens. It's something good for the boys to bust your chops about, you know.
Yeah,
double performance on the ice, then the day, right?
That's
it'd be different, man. If you're not performing and not showing up, then you have something to rip on. But
yeah,
you're a guy that's committed and shows up every night. I mean, I coach you know, for I guess a couple of years there, and you know, the one thing I remember is, you know, you how hard you worked, and you know that you really did give a shit. You know, obviously, I mean, you wouldn't be playing at the level you are without giving a shit, but.
Thanks.
Just busting on you a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it came from a couple guys, and we had to bring it up.
And your buddies too. So.
Yeah, that's probably the first dagger. Probably Sam pulled up.
Well, hey, so let's get on Sam a little bit. You see what I've got in my hand?
Yeah.
I heard you're the champ. And he
that
went
is so funny.
Bananas. Hey,
that is so funny.
So Riles, I'm not sure if you knew, but Sam said, you know, he's the champ of the house, and Cube smacked him around a little bit, and Sam couldn't handle it, lost his mind, hole through the wall or the door, stayed all year or something like that.
Yeah, well, I can tell that story. It's just my first year was in Allentown. It was me, Sanheim, Sam, and Martel, and we were in a nice house in the country a little, and it was like very big, and you know, like four guys being brand new to living with other guys, it's like rooming with other guys. It's like adjustments. I think I'm pretty open about it. So I don't know. And then we would always, I bought a ping pong table. We would always play downstairs and everything. And Sam was the king for a month. And then we had that like kind of trophy or like a place in the house where we put the winner of the recent winner. Like we call him the king.
Yeah.
And then Sam was always the king. And then we would do another. So I went to a store and bought a new paddle. Legit, I might have paid $70, $80 for the paddle.
Jeez, that's pretty
bad. It was a real one, like 4-star or 5-star. I don't know what the ping pong world is. But and then I beat him. And then he rallied because it was kind of a cheat code. My paddle was way better. Yeah. Then beat him, and then he's going up, and I'm just, oh yeah, I can't wait to put my trophy there, you loser, and everything, because I put even more on this, more heat on the on the case, and he goes upstairs and punch in the drywall, right, like going upstairs, and I could just remember his face. Like 10 minutes later, he called his parents, and he's like, oh yeah, dad, next time you come, can you help me fixing that hole in the wall? And then I can just hear his dad, not again, not another wall. And in my head, I was just being like, little Sam living in Quebec City, punching holes every time he loses against his sister or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I thought it was so funny.
That is great.
Asking his dad to bring the plaster and
and fix the hole when he comes. Yeah. No, that was funny.
A reoccurring thing. It's like, oh yeah, another hole.
we were 7th month straight without a hole. Come on, Sam.
I'm
kidding.
Oh, so Cube, let me ask you this: Have you been able to sneak out and play golf? How's your golf game?
My golf equipment is way better than my golf game.
Same here.
I love outfit. I love equipment. I just got a new Sim 2 driver. I can't wait to try it out. But I can't find as much time as I want. When I'm in Philly, we work out and we have nothing else to do, but we basically just play golf.
Yeah.
And there's so many golf courses, and around New Jersey, but here I played, I think, twice. Since I'm here, but
Riley, you can imagine the way he shoots a puck and his strength. This guy can crush a golf ball. So we were at Topgolf, me and Carter, Cube, and Provy. And so Carter all of a sudden says, "I'll give you 10 grand, Cube, if you can hit it over the fence," right? And it's like, there's like eight stories. There's like eight sections of the fence. It's basically eight stories. Now, we were on the second level, but the smart thing Cube does, he turns sideways and says, "Okay." So he's going to hit it just over the side, which he could have easily done, right? Carter's like, no, this way. I have it on video. This kid, Cube, launches one, and I swear to God, I thought it was going over. It's just rising, and Carter stands up and goes, "Oh, no. Oh, no." And it hit like near the top rung, like the set in between the seventh and eighth. I mean, it was a bomb. I don't even know how far it would have gone, like if the fence wasn't there, but that's why I asked how your golf game was going, because I've seen you hit the golf ball a few times and you crushed.
That new driver is good. So it keeps me between the two rows of trees between the bushes, but I can have a bad day where I shoot high 90s or high 80s. And then, I lose 12 balls and I'm so pissed.
Oh, that sucks.
But yeah, I have actually a tournament this Saturday. And what's cool about it is, my dad is, Ross, you know, if my parents are divorced and all my dad's family is in Alberta. Did I told you that before? Maybe.
I didn't know that. No, I knew you were born there, but I didn't know that they're all.
Yeah. That's where the Q-Bell is from, like on my dad's side. And then Obe is my mom and she's from Quebec. So then I moved back when I was 2 years old. And since then, like I see my dad every summer and we're having always a blast. And he's come in this summer to Quebec. It goes like one here, he comes to Quebec, then the next year I go to Alberta and vice versa. And so he's coming to Quebec and I tagged him in the foursome for that tournament, but I didn't tell him yet. We have, I bought Scottish kilt.
No way.
As outfit. I'll send you a picture. So cool. It is the best outfit I've ever seen. We all have a different color of kilt. And with the little beret, how do you call that in English? But
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. What is the word for that?
Plaid?
No, plaid? The hat.
The hat. Sorry, I don't know what it's called, but I know what you mean, though. Yeah. That's awesome.
That is cool. That's a great idea. How's he going to respond? Is that in his wheelhouse or something?
He is. I bet he's going to find something even funnier to. He probably won't wear. Won't wear boxers under his kilt. Right. just to be the goofball, you know?
You show up with the bagpipes too or something.
Yeah.
Probably, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a little like me, probably a little like him on that, like trying to make fun of everything and just having a fun time.
Yeah, that's great. It's the way to be.
Yeah, for sure, man.
And speaking of that, I mean, just a couple of days ago, a couple of your buddies, especially guys that you kind of grew up playing with in the Phantoms organization, get traded there. What are your thoughts on that? And how do you think the team is shaping up with some of these trades moving on?
Yeah, well, we knew before the summer that there's going to be a lot of change, and not only our team, but pretty much the whole NHL with the new cap size, like it's not going to go up anymore. And with the draft we knew it was going to change a lot, but changing that much is a little surprise. Like I didn't know, so sad for Ghost is leaving. Like I've been growing with him and, it's so many guys like Patty, I don't want to talk too much about that, but like, I think he's going to benefit from a new start. I don't want to.
Yep. No, I know what you mean. You're right. He needed it.
I agree.
Like, I don't want to get into that. I think he's going to benefit, and I can't wait to see him like perform as he can do in Vegas and a new team and put him in different roles. And
I was happy to see you were protected, because I could put money on if you were not, you would have been taken for sure.
Yeah. Especially to my roommate got traded for Ellis, like Phil.
Yeah.
It was Yeah, it was funny. I was driving to the beach that day, and I was looking at my phone. I couldn't believe it. I was like, no way, Phil's leaving. So I called him right away, like the hour after, and we were both like memorizing like all the roommate stuff we did this year. I've been with them for 3 years, you know, like,
yeah.
And then I was like, man, I'm going to miss you so much. Like, enjoy your time in like Nashville. And like, I just can't wait to play there and go for dinner with him. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's tough when you, like you said, just thinking of all the names, like, you know, Ghost, Haggy, Jakey, Moose signed with Tampa today.
I didn't know that. I didn't
see. Yeah, Patty, like you said, and Mizey, man, that's a lot of guys, you know.
Yeah.
But I think you guys have picked up some really good pieces that are going to really help out. You signed Nate Thompson again today. I don't know if you saw that. He's
right before the podcast, my agent just tried to tell me that right there.
Yeah.
So that's some depth for sure. Like when I play with him, I thought he was such a grind deep guy and like a tough guy too, like to play with, to play against. So like, this would be good to be on our team.
Yeah. It's nice to have those kind of guys on your side for sure. That's, I like his game. I like
me too.
To the table.
It's always bittersweet, you know. I guess four of those guys, three of those guys you grew up with the Phantoms, like, you mean you're pretty tight, like you said, and you know, but at the end of the day, it's about performance and winning games, right? I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. They move on, they're gonna go to a different organization and start from scratch. But I think, for like Nasty said, like I like the moves, you know. I think, you know, beefing up the back end there and adding a little grit, you know, I like where it's going, you know. But like you mentioned, like, something had to be addressed after the season, and we knew something was going to happen. So,
yeah,
see how it turns out. But always bittersweet losing buddies, you know. Especially when you lose like three tight ones like that, four possibly.
Yeah. And the Carver team is like not being old, but it's getting older too. So it's
right.
Yeah. You know, it's, I don't know the window, but GM knows, and this, if the window is in the next 3 years, and I get, you trade younger guys to, you know, Myers to get Ellis, because Ellis going to help us now and for the, you know, for the,
he's a heck of a player, actually.
I can't wait to play again. I never played against him, so excited to play with him.
He plays bigger than he is. You know, I feel like your game, you play bigger than you are as well. With this, like we said, you're a heavy player, meaning you're, I think you really, especially when you first came to the league and, you know, getting your feet wet, a lot of, obviously you're just getting in the league. A lot of people don't know who you are yet. Maybe they know who you are, but they haven't played against you, and they go to run into you, and they get a big surprise there. Most of the time, they usually end up on their asses, which is, it's always funny, because us both knowing you, watching a game, see a guy coming in to hit you, you're like, oh, probably not the decision you wanted to make.
Especially on the game sheet, they still haven't updated since I was 17 year old. No. I'm still 187 pound. I don't want to say it out loud, but guys know now.
Now they
but
know.
They look at it, 5'11", 187. I'm like, that was when I was 17 year old.
Yeah.
They're missing 35 pound there.
Smoking mirrors, man. You don't want to show your hand. You don't want to know how big and strong you really are.
They know once they try to run into you, buddy, or you run into them. So,
yeah,
I love that part of your game. Yeah, you know, you kind of have it. You've got everything in your game. You got a heavy, heavy shot, which Riley said earlier. Just tough to knock off the puck. Good hitter. Like, you got a lot. You know, you can go up and down the lineup, I feel like, on the team, which is huge. So I'm looking forward to you guys having a really big bounce back year.
Yeah, I think so too. And I was going to ask you too, on building off what Nasty's saying there, you know, pumping your tires. You know, I think of your balance and your strength. Was this something that's like kind of always been a part of your game? I know your sister was a figure skater. Was it like, did you take, you know, some real serious skating lessons at a young age to really build that foundation? Because I feel like some guys do and some guys don't. Some guys just genetically have that base, and then obviously you can improve off of it. But, you know, some people get in situations where they do a lot of skating and maybe figure skating even at some point, where they get that really, you know, really strong base out of the gates.
No, the only think year I did figure skating. Well, I didn't even do figure skating. It was like power skating. And then the coach wanted to push me into figure skating, but I was like, no, I want to push a puck. I'm going to play hockey. Yeah. And, but also like genetically, I always been thicker than the average, or I would say like when I was midget triple A, I was pretty heavier, but not crazy either. But so that's where I got kind of turned my game around, like puck protection and in corners and tight and like moving guys, not make me move and stuff. But in junior, it wasn't like, I wouldn't rock guys, like not hit guys either. I was more of offensive guys and skills and I don't know, score a lot of goals. And it's more like since I hit that AHL where it's all about grit, and that's where I was like, oh, if I want to play in the NHL, I'd better find a new role and get my fat legs going and hit guys.
How was that adjustment? Because I was there when you know, your first year with the Phantoms. And I know that first year, I think we talked quite a bit, and just getting used to the pro game and, you know, say maybe being accepted of a lesser role and being okay with that, but just working on the things you're talking about, the grit and being more responsible defensively. Like, how was that, you know, mentally for you? I mean, I know from what I saw, it seemed like it was you know, a grind, like as it always is, but you know, from your perspective, you know, talk about that, because I know it was an adjustment for you.
Yeah, I would say it's hard to like play consistent and gain confidence at the same time in your game when you don't have points or like good results, you know? So it's like that for every offensive forward. Like, it's really hard to gain confidence and gain like, and not having points. Like, everyone in the team would make the two first line would be like, oh, we all have like 2 points each tonight. And then I'll be like, oh, I played a good game, but nothing to like, you know, that candy. And then I would play really well for a month and have my turn skipped on the power play. You know, I never had power play. I never had PK in my whole 3 years in Allentown. Like, I had like few spots in here and there, but never like a consistent role. At one point I think at 5-on-5, I was top scorer or second scorer in the league, and still there, I had no power play. So it's like,
yeah, I don't, you know, understand that.
But it's not always, but like, you know, it's not always power play, because like coach would tell me like, oh, you'll never play on power play in the NHL, which is like, oh yes, I get that. If you see that, but I would like to gain confidence and gain like ease, and by having few points in the power play, and like, you know, like that was in my mind. And it changed now, because like I know my job to do on the fourth line and work from there in the NHL. But I feel like for me, it wasn't satisfying enough in the AHL, where that's probably where I was from.
Well, you definitely have a shot. It surprises me that you weren't on the PP there, just because of the way you shoot the puck. But you're getting some looks now there, as long as we make those meetings.
Yeah.
You will. But I got a question for you. You should get a chuckle. When I say these two words, what comes to your mind? Stay connect.
Yeah, that's French Mike for sure.
Yeah. Riley, that's Mike. I love it.
But every coach has their own like how do you say that in English? I don't know, but like their own, like I say a lot of you'll see, or like, you know, or you know what I mean?
You're saying or something like
that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mike always says, stay connect.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember saying to Lappy, what does he mean? What is he saying? But I connected? Thought I knew. And then, yeah, he means stay close, right?
Stay like, close.
Don't get too spread.
Right.
But it just, it's so funny because he says it so much. Stay connect. So
yeah.
I used to love when he would say that, because just make me laugh. So yeah, I know you've heard it a lot,
multiple times a day.
Yeah,
you know, talk about your shot there, Cube. You know, obviously, I feel like the more shots you get on net, obviously, they increase the chances of scoring. Is that something that going into, you know, each game, going to this season, like if you get an opportunity, you're not looking to pass, like you're maybe leaning more on your bread and butter of your shot, and then maybe getting more cookies that way, and potentially get rewarded on the, you know, more on the PP there as a shooter.
Yeah, like I have confidence in my shot. I know it's good. It's one of my qualities as a player, but it also comes with, like, I don't know, for some people they don't know it, but I feel like confidence is a big part of it. If when I shoot on net and I don't even think or look and I know it's going to go in, like I'll score more in that month. Where I go on a bad streak and I don't score for 15 games, then maybe I won't be at the good spot, or I'm not going to shoot it as hard, or I'll think of the past because it hasn't worked for a while. So like it's a lot of like streak and confidence, I think, in my part.
Is it something you think you could train your mind a little more, being like, you know, overthinking and be more of a shooter first mentality? And I know we talked about this back in the day, because I was like, just seeing your shot, I'd always like, Cube, shoot more. Shoot. Just like, just put the puck to the net and shoot through D, shoot as much as you possibly can. Because to me, I've seen some of those lasers, man. It's like, to me, if it's on the net, it's like, it's got a good chance of going in the net, you know? And I understand. Yeah. I never had the abilities you do. So maybe you're seeing something in the moment that, you know, that we're not necessarily seeing, but I just feel like it's such a high percentage play, at the very least generating that secondary opportunity. But I mean, that's all stuff, you know, I just feel like that, you know, that shot you have is just like, it's almost like one of those things that, you know, you can't really teach. Like, that's like part of the gift. You can improve it, but you have an ability that a lot of guys really work years on trying to perfect, and then really never get there. So
I'm having that issue, Cube, in my
you
league.
Are
right. Riley plays on our men's league team. And I either
drop pass first kind of guy, right at the blue.
Oh, I'm dropping boys.
Yeah.
But if I do shoot, it's either you can read Made in Taiwan, or if I get it, if I do get a hold of it, it's 10 feet wide. So I just pass, bro. I just
exactly. It's something that you don't want to shoot too much, because then your teammate are like, oh, he's just shooting. Yeah. And I didn't have like big issues in that, but then when I was a junior, like I'm a scorer, and then it'd be like I'm playing with other scorers. So then it'd be like a question where, oh, you should pass more, and then it hurts your ego, because you don't want you. I'm a team player. I don't want to be the guy that takes shots from other players and from other teammates, especially. Like, so that's why, like, I don't know. I still always have that mind. I don't want to shoot too much. But in the NHL, when I feel like, especially when you're a fourth line energy guy, I feel like I should do it more. Like my grandpa, like, texts me before and after every game, and he always texts me like, Nick, you got to shoot more. Like. And he probably text me that for a month. And at one point, he was like, well, I look at this advanced stat. I didn't even know he could do that. He has a hard time going on Facebook. And he goes like, I look at the advanced stat, and you're one, like, you're the second last in the team for shots. It's not. And then I was kind of hitting me. I was like, yeah, well, it's not. It shouldn't be me, you know. Like, I have a good shot. It shouldn't be me. So I have to work on that. Like, even if I play in the NHL, and I have to work on stuff and game wise, and also like mentally wise too. That's why you work out in the gym, but you also have to work out with like a psychologist, or I don't know the word in English.
Sports psychologist.
Psychologist. Therapist, in French, we say psychologue, but it doesn't translate really well. Psychologist.
You've got to listen to Grandpa.
Yeah, Gramps knows what he's talking about.
Gramps knows, man.
Fire the biscuit, man.
I've been listening to him my whole career, and it worked out. So
it's a weapon. Yeah. You got a weapon there, man. 30. What do you got? 40 snipes, or just under 40 snipes? A couple years in a row there in juniors, and it's not by dishing. I'm sure you're ripping it.
Mm-hmm.
So not that I want to touch back on last year a whole lot, because we've moved on past that, but. You know, building off the playoffs, the year before, I mean, like, you're an energy guy, you understand energy. Like, what do you feel, say, went wrong? Like, what was, like, the disconnect there? Because you started off, you know, strong, you're winning games, maybe winning games you shouldn't have. Like, I feel like you guys are better than the record, and then eventually you kind of just the wheels fell off the carriage there. But not that you have to, you know, show your hand too much. We're just curious on, like, you know, how, you know, big energy, yeah, and understanding it, what your thoughts
are. Yeah, well, individually it's different than the team. I feel the team we had such a great start, and we were back in the locker room. We're like, we didn't play that well tonight, but we still win, you know? So I can't wait for the whole team to play well. Like, and then we had a few games where we were playing unreal and we would win like easily, but like we were a really good team at the beginning. And like, I don't want to put blame because I feel like everyone's blaming COVID and everything, but we got our top player. I think at one point we had 8 guys missing and they missed 2 weeks. It's if the team, like if all those guys get 2% less good,
yeah,
or 5% less good, then the whole team gets, I don't know,
right,
yeah,
15% less good. So that's why it's after, yeah, COVID, it was like hard to get back in that pattern and back in our winning. Yeah,
so it seemed to dropped off there. Yeah,
yeah, we talked about that. Like, I felt like, I think you guys had six or seven. It was crazy number of the top two lines. I mean, you were missing, yeah, guys, and I felt like other teams, like you said, not to make excuses, but other, yeah, teams had games canceled and you guys were playing. I mean, we played the outdoor game.
Sam and Frito had to play forward.
Yeah. I mean, like,
we're in the NHL. That was like kind of,
yeah. I mean, you know, we're teams, although you probably didn't want to be playing into the playoffs. Like, if who was it, Vancouver? Remember, we were talking Calgary played like 4 to 5 days into the playoffs. They were making games up, but at the same time, you guys were missing a lot of guys. I felt like maybe they could have pushed those games back,
yeah,
but they didn't, and we're past that. But
it was probably hard for a coach too, because we, right, were hot, like so good at the beginning, and like we were building into that and building into like we're gonna win even more if we play well. And then,
right,
it kind of shifts. Now we have new guys from the AHL, knife, the guy from Sam had to play forward, you know, like it was probably hard to. And then when everyone was back, we were so like, all right, let's just go back to winning. It's going to be easy. Like, yeah, like before, you know, but then it didn't happen. So then everyone was kind of sad and everyone was just kind of like not arguing, but like,
yeah,
on that. Frustrating. So,
yeah.
And especially in Philly, like we're such a winning, mentality and like culture, like it gets more and more, like the fans and coach, like we want to win.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure. And you think that was kind of like the chemistry was off, or is it like fatigue? Like, you know, was just not being able, like you're not getting back to that, you know, that optimum, you know, conditioning, or like what do you think it was? I mean, a mixture of both.
I don't think there's an answer. At the beginning of the year, we were winning, playing bad, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, good teams do that.
Yeah, but we came back from there, and then some game we would play our best game, like as, but we would still lose. So it's, yeah, I don't know if it was just like,
yeah.
I just remember before the, okay, you know, I don't want to talk about the COVID the whole time, but like as Hayes would have 3-point night every year, like, you know what I mean? It was not saying he didn't have after. I don't want to point fingers at all. I'm just saying as offensively, it was like way easier. We would score a lot of goals.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was, I don't know, it's harder to score goals, and yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those years, man. It just, yeah. Things just weren't clicking after that whole thing.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think you guys are going to have a huge bounce back. I know every guys we've talked to are just, they just can't wait to get going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
can you talk about your, you know, this is your third year, full year in the NHL. I mean, 2.5, but you know, entering your third season, you know, you established yourself. You know, basically last year was your first full season. You know, and I kind of alluded to this earlier in the pod here, but you know, going in your mindset, like what are your goals this year personally, and then obviously as a team.
And visually, my first 35 game, I chances to go up and down the lineup, and I took my chances. I think I was surprising people and I was doing really well. And I think last year I was probably maybe a little going under my what people were waiting from me. And it was hard because I would have like Jensen to the lineup and then that game not playing well. So then I'm not the guy on the second line or on the third line. So then it's also a question of timing and a question of consistency and not missing meeting. It's, I have a lot to work on. I think I grew a lot from when I was in the AHL, but last year I probably was saying like, all right, I'm a pro and I'm already like ready. Like I'm good now, but I always have progress to do. And I think a big part of it is this summer, I'm a guy that works out a lot and get ready for camps and stuff. And with the, I don't want to say again, the COVID last year, but having the camp in January.
Yeah.
I didn't go on the ice as much as I could before that camp. I wasn't in as shape as I will be in August. So then it got into like the whole season. I was kind of late in the, I don't know, like I know myself, but it's hard to translate to other people and compare to.
Yeah. And, you know, building off that, like, you know, physically you're a specimen and you train the physical body, like, you know, like a pro. Is there anything you're doing off the ice, you know, say for the mind? I feel like the training has evolved so much where there's like, you know, this physical component. And then there's like, you mentioned like the sports psychologist, like, is there other stuff you're doing away from actual strengthening of the physical body to improve your game, maybe working on focus or concentration or, you know, that finding that flow, consistency, because you mentioned consistency and, you know, it's usually up here. It's not so much the physical body, right? Because that doesn't change a whole lot over the season unless you're banged up, but anything like that you're really focusing on?
Well, on that 35 game season that I played, that I said everything went well. I got called up, I think, a little before Christmas, and everything went well. And I just went into like a pattern every day, and I don't know, like a routine, and it kind of helped me. But I'm not a big, like, I don't know, like, trying to think the word, but I'm not like a superstitious guy or anything. Like, I was just doing what worked for me.
Yeah
maybe I could do more too, like talking with a sports psychologist would help, and doing more of that for sure would help.
Like visualization stuff, I know a lot of guys are big into that, some more than others, but I mean, we've talked to a lot of guys on the podcast, I mean, mainly about physical body training, you know, the Evolution, JVR, and even Sambo. But I know there's like a whole nother dimension of other stuff. We had Max Talbot on talk about, you know, working with players and breathing. I know Duncan Keith, you know, this past year on ESPN talked about like breathing techniques, really lengthening his career. Anything like that to kind of, you know, add value to, you know, your abilities?
I've been more like if it goes well, like just keep doing what you're doing. And
right.
It was going well. So maybe last season was more of a, and I don't want to change because it was doing well for me that way. So I don't want to change much, but I see like guys that touching on breathing. Raffo was doing it. Now here, Scandella is doing it. And I guess it could help me. I see guys visualizing, like Blake, Jordan Wheel was big into that, but maybe a little too big. But into
yeah,
that.
Right.
I was getting that was a
different dimension
that.
Of visualization. That was like action.
Yeah. But so I feel like if it works for guys, good for them. Like that's their mind, that's their stuff. I just think I'll do what works for me, and until I'm like deep into breathing or like visualization, I'm just gonna stay like what I do for right now that helps.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say something about the Wheel deal, Jordan Wheel, because he was. I thought he was having some sort of attack when he was doing that.
Like a little Tourette syndrome.
Something was going on with the whole shaking, and I love him to death, by the way. But man, it was funny to watch him, and especially we've talked about it before. If someone didn't know him and didn't know what he did, he would always ask me to grab a chair, and he'd go in the hallway. People are coming by, and he's doing that whole thing, and they're like, people are looking at him like, what's wrong with that guy? I'm like, nothing. He's just going up and down an elevator or making his moves. Yeah. He was going to do in the game. But
well, it worked really well.
It worked for him, man. I've seen it over and over and over again, man. It worked, yeah.
I heard the podcast with John Cooper. They were saying that a bunch of guys, or it was after they won the cup, they were saying that they were singing in the shower before games, Tempa. I don't know if you guys
heard that. I didn't hear that.
I heard like five guys or six guys would sing a cappella in the shower before every game.
Oh my God.
So then if you're like new to this, you're like, what the heck? But if you're in there, you're probably, it works. So just do it.
Yeah, man. That's right.
Yeah, it loosens you up, right. I guess, right? I mean, its whole idea is to lose tension so not gripping the stick so much. So
yeah,
if singing in the shower gets you mentally prepared, man, that's what pros do. You know, everyone's doing a little different, little regimen.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I did not hear that. But yeah, so you got anything else?
Man, that's it. I hope you're not mad at me, Cube. You know, I was just playing about the PP meetings, man. You gotta have to get on Sammy about that. Maybe Ghost too. Maybe Ghost.
Yeah, probably Ghost.
Oh no. That's funny.
That's fine. Yeah, I get to know to laugh about it, even though it really affects me. Like I get so much stressful. Like I'm probably like the less stressed person in the world. Yeah. But I was having anxiety. Couldn't like. I was going to the rink like shaking. I was like, it's big to me. It's like the NHL. I'm like,
right.
And then I was having a bad time my first year when I missed those two meetings. I didn't like that.
Hey, listen, man, that's one of my worst, those dreams where you're running late for something and you can't get your skates tied or something, the lace breaks and the boys are on the ice, just crazy shit like that. No, Cube, you're not the first guy it's happened to and not the last that it's happened to. So it's everybody, no one's questioning your commitment. That's for sure, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Just wanted to bust on you a little. Well, we appreciate you hopping on here, Cube. It's nice to reconnect and wish you the best moving forward. I'd love to reconnect with you when you get back to the Philly area and maybe grab lunch or something.
So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. Sweet.
Listen, I want pictures in that kilt this weekend.
Yeah, we got to get some pics.
You'll probably see them either on Insta or I'll see
okay. All right. I'll do the old
stories or post, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'll be on the lookout.
I can't wait to see that.
Oh, that'd be
it's awesome.
So cool. All right. Thanks,
Cube. We appreciate it, brother.
No problem. All right, we'll see you guys
later. That episode was brought to you by Settlemyer Skate Sharpening for the best grind in town. And all your hockey needs, check out SettlemyerSkateSharpening.com. And Body Check Wellness for all your CBD, therapeutic medicinal mushrooms. Check out bodycheckwellness.com. And thanks to Cube for hopping on with us. It's great to reconnect with Nick Obey-Kubel.
It was great to stay connect.
Stay connect.
No, it was great. I love that.
It was the French Mike.
The French Mike.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah, it was nice.
How you doing, Michelle Therrien? My man.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
That was it was nice to see Cube. I haven't seen him for a while and to see a smile on his face and him having success.
Yeah. It's nice to see. He's a good kid. He really is.
Yeah.
Good kid. He works hard, man.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah. I've always rooted for him as well. You know, coaching him for a couple of years and seeing how he, you know, say struggled the first year, it was like a wake up call for him. I think it was almost too easy for him in juniors, and then all of a sudden there was so much structure, and he was playing a lesser role, and he really had to focus and like reel in his game. And I know Gordo was pretty hard on him, but nice to see him find his game, you know, and accept the role, and you know, continue to get stronger. Man, he's a powerful dude, man. He's strong in his skates.
He surprises a lot of guys with the strength he has. But yeah, you're right.
It's almost like that old school farmer strength or something. Yeah. He's got like he's just deceivingly strong, but seems to be really gluing his game together. So nice to see, and I'd like to see how he does this year and full season, you know, full off season train, get back on track and
see if our pep talk about shooting the biscuit, you know, comes that maybe
telling the same thing. I've been telling
Gramps is always telling him shoot, He seriously, they in all seriousness, he can shoot the best.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, especially in your fourth line, like
yeah,
come down the wing and just rip it, rip it, man. Go to the net, and they, but I think that man, if he just did that a little more consistently, I think he could easily get 20 goals in the league, if not 30, as he rose up and played in higher lines, if that worked out for him. But
right,
he had 40 in juniors. I know it's a different animal. I think his best year in the American League. Probably not even playing power play, like you said, you think 18, 19 in snipes. And
yeah,
again, that's turning down a ton of shooting opportunities. So it'd be nice to actually see him buy into that and keep his game going north.
Yeah. And to be on time.
And to be on time, you got to be on time.
Poor guy. That's the worst feeling, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God. I felt bad when I said it, you know.
It was hurting him. It was totally hurting his ego. Totally.
He was, he just feels bad, eh? Like, yes. He felt bad. And I'm like, no, it's a joke, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
the coaches are over it, man. You're still in the power.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Ghost said. Yeah. Sorry, Ghost. We had to call you out. It was great, though. He started laughing. He was like, no, he's like, he's the only guy he missed three power play meetings and still stayed on the PP.
he's got the French connect.
Yeah,
there.
He stayed connect, you know? So. Oh, man.
Oh, it's beautiful. All right, man. Well, it was great. It was good episode, and that wraps up episode 34 featuring the Cube. Be sure to tune in next week for episode 35. Until then, have a little fun, guys. Stay safe, and see you then, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.